But before we get too far into what I want to talk about, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever heard of that term fighting fire with fire? We have a slide, and it's like, ooh. excuse me, I have a little cough. I like to know where terms and phrases come from, and so I did the best research I could in a couple minutes. That's called Google. And so I Googled this phrase, fighting fire with fire, to see where it came from. And would you know that one of the first persons to write this phrase or something like it was Shakespeare back in 1595, King Henry, I believe. Those who are very familiar with that, please forgive me if I'm wrong. Yeah. Five. What he said. Oh, actually, I have it right here. But he said, "Be stirring as time, be fire with fire." The phrase was really coined back in the early 1900s, where firefighters were trying to take care of all the fires that they were fighting, and they started creating what's called backfires, where they would burn up all the brush in the way of the fire so that the fire had nothing to consume. And they saw a great success with this, with creating backfires. At the same time, some of their backfires backfired because due to like the lack of good technology and good equipment they had back there. And so there's your history lesson for the day. Okay. Oh, Lord, help. But I bring this up because I like that term, fighting fire with fire. And I kind of want us to hold this thought in our mind. It's fighting something that you're struggling with the same intensity as the thing to defeat it. And today we're going to be looking at something that I think can be a fire that rages out of control that we sometimes don't fight with the same intensity. And you know what it is? Your tongue. Everyone say, "My tongue." That's right. Have you ever thought about your tongue? Have you ever thought about the words that you say when you say, or the people you say them to? I was thinking about the tongue, and aren't we so blessed that in our mouth and on our tongue, we have over like 10,000 taste buds? Come on, someone say hallelujah. Because I don't know if you're like me, but I love food. One of my favorite things to eat is watermelon. And when my wife and I first got married, I told her I really liked watermelon. And I was around her family, and she noticed how much watermelon I eat. But when we got married, I think I ate like over half a watermelon all by myself. And she's like, "What is your deal?" I was like, "I really love watermelon." She's like, "You are obsessed." And like, "I am addicted." And so I love summer because once the watermelon's out, I will buy one. I don't even care if it's huge. I will eat the whole thing by myself. Can I get a witness? Everyone's like, "You're crazy." But I love watermelon so much. So our tongue, we have tons of taste buds with that, which is really cool. The other thing our tongue, we can do with it is create silly faces. We can stick our tongues out at people. It's just fun. Everyone say fun. And finally, the other thing we can do is our tongue helps us create words and enables us to speak. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And so if you have your Bibles, if you'd like to open them up to James chapter 3, or turn on your phone and slide up to James chapter 3, whatever you'd like to do, that is where we're going to be. The passage is also going to be on the screens in just a moment. So James chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 2. "Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go. Even though the winds are strong, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right." Well, can we take a moment and will you pray with me? So Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity to come amongst other believers and to worship you and to be in your presence and to give you our lives and to surrender our lives to you. And Lord, I pray this morning as we talk about the power of the tongue, God, that you would just reveal to us areas of weakness in our lives, God, and even bring healing and redemption to where we've been wounded by tongues. And so, Father God, I pray that you'd restore us today. God, we surrender this time to you, and we pray you'd speak to us in a mighty and powerful way. God, we are hungry for you. You're all we want. And I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I've been praying about this message, I feel this morning the Lord wants to free us from hurt. I believe in times in our life, and we'll get into it in just a minute, but there's been moments where someone's tongue has wounded you. And I believe the Lord wants to begin today to heal you of some of those things. And also, I believe there's some of us that this is a big issue, to control our tongue, to control the words we say. And I believe today the Lord wants to be your help and to guide you in that. Everyone say amen. About 2 weeks ago, actually 3 weeks ago, the week before senior teen camp, I was up at family camp, spending time with my in-laws and with my wife. And one of the mornings I was in my devotional time with the Lord, and I went to James, the book of James, and I started reading. And then all of a sudden, James chapter 3 came up, and I just got stuck on it. I kept reading it and reading it, and every time I'd read it, I felt like the Lord was speaking something new to me. And like a different passage would pop up in James chapter 3. And I felt like the Lord was saying, Patrick, I need you to speak this to the students. I need you to tell them. And I was like, okay, like this is awesome. Like at senior teen camp, I have a couple of students. We're gonna go after this. And at senior teen camp, it's really cool because in the mornings of Tuesday through Friday, they have this time called youth gatherings where you get together with just your youth group for 30 minutes. And this year, the first time they've ever done this, they gave us a booklet to kind of go through. And it had this application called SOAP, which is a lot like our SMORP, where you read the scripture, you ask the Lord what he's trying to say to you, and you try to apply it to your life and you pray. Well, guess what the booklet was all about? James. And I saw it, I grabbed the booklet, and I opened it up, and I saw, like, on day 3, we're supposed to be in James chapter 3. And I was like, nope, we're doing it right now. Because I just felt like, and to the annoyance of some of my students, who are like, but it's not day 3 yet. I'm like, I don't care. We are at day 3. And so we did it, and we had I love watching students go after God. And I love watching students hear from God and, like asking them, give me feedback. What did the Lord teach you? And hearing them just like, this is what God is saying, just like gets me so excited. And so I was like, cool, like job is done. Well, as I was praying for today, I couldn't get past James 3. I couldn't think of anything other than James 3. And so be encouraged. I feel like this is such an important word for us today. And so let's jump into it. We live in a very interesting time in history where in a moment, we can get onto social media, one of the many platforms, and post our feelings, our thoughts to all the world. And I think it's very interesting that the Lord would bring this up in my heart to share with us today, because talk about a place to start a wildfire that talks about in James. How I've seen in the last few years friendships be destroyed over social media, over a comment. I've seen people's names be totally dragged through the mud because of a misconception or something, because of social media, because of the power that people use their tongues in an unhealthy way. And today, I think the Lord wants us to teach us a new way of speaking, if you will. It's so important for us to understand this portion of Scripture, the controlling of the tongue. Bishop Joseph Garlington says an amazing quote. He says, nothing happens in the kingdom of God without words. Words change worlds. I love that. And we can see throughout the Bible the importance or the power that spoken word has. We can look in Genesis where it talks about God spoke, let there be light, and there is creation. We can see Jesus when he spoke to a fig tree and said it was worthless and cursed it and it died. We can also see Jesus spoke to demons and had authority over them through the spoken word, through the power of his word. We can see even Jesus spoke to the dead and he said, you shall rise, and they came back to life. There is power in the word. And there's also the story in Matthew 8 about the Roman officer where he runs up to Jesus and says, Lord, Lord, my servant is not well. Will you please pray for him to get better? Will you please get him better? And Jesus is like, I will come with you. He's like, no. I'm a man of authority, and I understand authority. All you need to do, you don't need to come into my house. You just say the word, and he'll be well. And Jesus said, wow, great faith you have. And he said, your servant is now better. And at that exact same moment, the servant was better. So there's something powerful about the words we use, about the spoken word that we can see. Our words are more than just sounds or the way we communicate. And I love how James opens up the passage with these three analogies, which brings me to my first point. Such a small thing has a huge impact. So the first couple of verses of James, he gives us three little analogies. The first one is the bit in the horse's mouth. And I think this is a cool picture. Horses are these huge, majestic, beautiful beasts of the earth. And isn't it amazing that you have this horse with all this power running full speed, and the one thing that can help it turn or control it is a tiny bit in its mouth in comparison to the size of the horse. I think that's amazing. And then the next one he goes to is a small rudder on a ship. Now, back in James' day, they may not have the same size of ships we have today, but think about the ships today. We have cruise liners that can carry thousands and thousands of people, but yet what controls them is a small rudder in comparison to the size of the boat. And I was pondering the rudder and the ship, and I was hit with this thought that in life we face storms, yeah? And sometimes we don't get to choose the storms we're in, but we have to know that we have power within those storms. That we may not know like which way the wind is going to come or when the storm is going to come, but yet we're not powerless within that storm. And then the third analogy he shares is a tiny spark creates a huge fire, which if you're from Montana, you know a lot about fires. I remember when I was younger, there was a huge forest fire right outside of Helena, like on Canyon Ferry area. And I believe it was just started with someone didn't put out a fire all the way, and it just burnt up a fire, or it started a huge forest fire. And we've heard stories of someone didn't put out a cigarette, and they just threw it into a brush, and it caused this huge fire. When I was younger and in Helena, when we had a huge fire, wow, when we had the fire that burned up Canyon Ferry Lake, I remember standing outside my house and looking up to the Canyon Ferry like hills, because we were like right below it. And it was nighttime, and all I could see was just like red fire. Like all I could see was the hills just on fire. And I was so nervous, and our family was talking about, how do we get out of here? What's a good way to keep our valuables? Because if the wind would shift, it would just come right down to us and possibly be able to burn and destroy our homes. And so such a small thing, our tongue, we think it's such a small thing. You know, it's so small, it's not a big deal, but it causes a huge impact. And it makes me think about the words we say. You know, sometimes we say things and they don't seem big to us. Like it's not that big of a deal. It's just a passing comment. But yet we don't understand, or maybe we do, but yet our words have such a big impact. Even the smallest and simplest thing can have a huge impact. A small tongue, but it affects our entire life. And think about this for a moment. Everyone in this room, we've all been shaped by someone else's tongue. Think about that. Growing up, whether your parent, a sibling, a friend, whoever, they have helped shaped who you are by what they've said to you. I remember when I was younger, there was a moment where I was just learning how to play bass, and I had no idea that I was going to lead worship ever in my life. I think I was about 15 or so. So I just learned how to play bass. I was on the youth group worship team, and I was just doing it to have fun. And trust me, as a homeschool kid, if you could be around good friends and have fun, you do it every day, right? Preach it. And so I was there, and the worship leader at the time, a good friend of mine, his name was Tucker. He was leading, and Tucker has this beautiful voice, and he's just doing a great job. Well, we hit this song in practice, and he's just struggling with it. He's, like, unable to, like, do it, and I don't know why. And so the team didn't know that I love that song. The song is called Heartbeat of Heaven. It's one of those classic, you start really low, and then you build really big, and everyone's, like, crying, like, yes, we want the heartbeat of heaven, like, all this stuff. Like, let it rain, you sing that over and over. Well, in the middle of practice, Tucker's like, Patrick, how about you try? And I think it was him or someone like that, and I was like, oh, okay. They didn't know I've been practicing this song. And so we're practicing, we're doing it, it's going okay. And then the team is building, and I'm like, I'm going to go. I'm going to jump the octave. I'm going to go for it. And I was totally scared, and I went for it, and I got it. Like, I hit the note, and we had this wonderful moment of, like, worship in our practice. At the end of it, everyone's like, that was sweet. And my youth pastor and his wife were in the back, and my youth pastor's wife, her name is Jan, shouted, that was amazing. Do it just like that tonight. I was like, sweet. So we did it, and we had a great time of worship at our youth group. At the end of youth group, my youth pastor and his wife came up to me. He's like, Patrick, you have a gifting in this. That was powerful. Like, we didn't know you could sing like that. Did you know you could sing like that? Like you need to continue to do that. That moment caused me to go home and practice like crazy. It birthed something new in me. It gave me new life to like music. I thought I would just play bass, and I was kind of playing guitar, but I went home and I practiced every day. And I bet if I asked everyone in this room, we could all share amazing moments where someone has pulled you aside and spoken encouragement over you. They've shaped a part of you encouragingly with their tongue. They've said something that just like brought a new sense of like a refreshing breath to you. You're like, man, I can do it. The sad thing, though, is at the same time, we could think of countless moments probably where someone has cut us with their tongue. Whether it was intentional or like directly at us, or we were just in the way of someone having a bad day. The tongue has so much, it's such a small thing, but has great, great impact. We have the ability to speak life and death, which brings me to my second point, which is our words have power. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Back to James 3:9. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who've been made in the image of God. Our words can do great damage. When we speak without know, when we don't tame the tongue, we have the possibility to curse someone. Now, you might be like, well, I don't curse people. So when we think of the word curse, we're thinking of like calling down something terrible upon a person or using a bad four-letter word. But church, can we just be real? It's more than just that. To curse someone actually means just to speak against that person. And so, think about it. And so this is something we just have to be aware of. So anytime we speak against someone, anytime we criticize, we gossip or complain about someone, we're cursing them. We're speaking against them. Now, I know, like, this is kind of like, well, this is like a fun message. Let's just talk about this for the next hour. Verse 10, and so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. This is not right. And I think this has been on my heart so big is because as a youth pastor, I face this with almost every student I come in contact with. This, and it might not be like them lashing out at other people, but we can shape others with our tongue, but we can definitely shape ourselves with our own tongue, with our self-talk. And more than that, what I face with youth students is how they will love every single person in the room. Like, if you're mean to them, they're like, oh, it's fine, they're great. But they will destroy themselves with their words. And the truth is, church, we do the same thing. We speak ill of ourselves. We curse ourselves. Once again, Proverbs says, life or death is in the tongue. And yet we are like, no, I'm nice to other people, but I don't have to be nice to myself. But that's not right. Because it talks about how we've been created in the image of God. Everyone has been created in the image of God. You have been created in the image of God. And so there's two things to this. There's what are you speaking to others to shape, and how are you shaping yourself? What are the words you're using to shape yourselves? Are you encouraging? Are you building yourself up? Or are you tearing yourself down? And we use curse words like, oh, I'm such a failure, or that person's dumb, or I hate you, or I want a divorce, or like, this is the worst. There's no hope in this situation. And we sometimes don't think. Our tongue is quicker than our thoughts. But church, we're in a time in history where we have to control our tongue. And we do this not only just in the world, and we see this. You can get on Facebook right now and probably see a ton of posts where people are just lashing out at one another. I feel like the world is like just lashing out. It's crying out for something. But we do this a lot in the church. We do this to fellow believers. We do this to pastors and staff. We do this against other churches. And I can say this confidently because I know I've done it. And the Lord, even this morning, I was in worship, and a couple people came up to me and prayed for me this morning, which I was so grateful for. But isn't it, it's interesting, I was in worship, and I was getting ready, I feel prepared, I'm ready, and all these words that I've spoken over myself in the past came up to my mind. You're a failure, you're homeschooled, you can't speak, no one's going to listen to you, you're so unqualified. And these are the words, I know I've heard them, and I'm sure you've heard them. But the Lord wants to take away these words. Like, the Lord wants to heal us of these words and give us new power in the words we speak. Can I get an amen? Remember, our words carry the power to shape someone, and not just other people, but ourselves. Personal talk can either build us up or tear us down. And we know, I believe we all know, we would all agree, life words, words of encouragement, are vital for us. They're so vital for us. They're vital in our marriages. Like spouses, when is the last time you looked at your husband or wife, you looked them right in the eye and just said, I love you so much? This morning. Good job. Or like looked at your kids and said, I love you. Or kids, when's the last time you're like, hey, parents, I may be a punk, but man, I appreciate everything you do. You know, like just share that. All the kids are like, I don't know. I did it last week, whatever. But life words are something we need all the time. That's why I love the direction of the church, how we're speaking blessing over one another. We're taking that time to look each other in the eye and say, I bless you. I bless you that the Lord would be with you in this season of life. I love prayer summits because we spend the last like 30 minutes of prayer summit. We get in our triads. And every time I've been to prayer summit, I get with like two other men. I share with them what I'm going through, and they share with me what they're going through. And we pray, and we encourage them. And every time, I'm always like, whew, I feel great. And that's because words carry power. Amen? So pause for a second. Think about the words you've been saying even today or in the last week. And remember that your words carry power. I'm not here to like guilt you or bring shame to you, but I think we just need to realize what we say has power. And sometimes we say things and we have no responsibility for what we say. We feel like we're not responsible. I feel like the Lord wants to do something new, amen? I think he wants to train us and teach us how to use our words, how to use them for life. Last week at senior teen camp, I think it was like Wednesday, the speaker, he was talking about words, and he led the students into writing down some words and the way they think about themselves and different labels they had on themselves. And church, you have to picture this. There's 650 students and leaders, so there's probably close to like 500 students. We're all in this room writing down labels and words and things we've either spoken over ourselves or people have spoken over us. And at the end, he encouraged us to like throw it at the altar and give it to the Lord. Paper everywhere. And I think this is just burning on me because this is a huge issue. And it's not just like some of us struggle with this. No, we all struggle with this. And this is something that I believe the Lord wants us to start taking back and start using for the kingdom of righteousness, for his glory, to encourage other people, to encourage ourselves. Life and death, the power of life and death are in the tongue. And my third point is we cannot tame our tongue by ourselves. Now, this point is kind of frustrating for me because I'm kind of like I like to do things. I like to do it fast. I like to do it on my own. And this is very like, ugh. You know, because I could tell you like, oh, so get a jar out and every time you curse someone, put like $10 in it and you have a trip to like Hawaii after a year or whatever. But that's not the point. I think that's probably a little more true. But in verse James 3:8, it says, no man can tame the tongue. And the reason why is this is a heart issue. The only way a tongue can be tamed is when a heart is affected and changed. Jesus said in Matthew 12, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's happening in here will come out through your mouth. And that's why I love Psalms 119:11. It says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We need to give our hearts to God. So church, this is why this morning, this whole idea of like to fight fire with fire, fighting fire with fire has been on my mind. And it's kind of a weird picture, and you're probably like, I don't understand where you're trying to make the connection with. This is it. It talks about how the tongue can be like a spark that starts a forest fire and can rage through your entire body, or it can rage through your entire life. We just let that happen. We're just letting just our tongues go out of control. And I believe this morning, if one thing I could tell you is we need to start fighting that fire with the fire of taming our tongues, surrendering our lives to Jesus, surrendering our heart to God, being so full of him that everything that comes out of us is blessing and not cursing. Everything that comes from our mouths when we speak is life and not death. And that is when we're going to see so much happen. One of my biggest joys and privileges is to partner with a student, and I get to spend time just blessing them. And sometimes I get to say the same thing over and over. You are wonderfully and fearfully made. God loves you. He knows you. He cares about you. I don't believe it. No, listen to me. God loves you. He cares you. He cares about you, and he knows you. I don't believe you. Listen! Because there's something that we need to hear that. We need to hear that. So it's time to start fighting this fire of negativity, of hurt, with the same intensity of blessing one another. Whether it's in your homes, whether it's in your relationships, whether it's at your job, across the board. It's time. And the way we do that is by filling our lives with Jesus. Oh, glory, he's so good. Amen. So think about this. First of all, a blessing, even though it's small, carries such a great impact. We could remember my story of someone saying, you have a great anointing to be a worship leader. Small, just one moment thing. It was like a 2-minute conversation and has led me to this moment here in time. Has helped me become who I am for right now. A blessing carries so much power. And we know that for our kids when we bless them, but for each other, it's huge. The other thing is, all our words carry power. Like, and now you're like, well, not every single word I say carries power. I mean, every one of you, your words carry power. It doesn't matter if you're like, well, I don't have much influence. Nobody listens to me when I talk. Like, literally nobody listens to me when I talk. Okay, well, you carry power with your words in your life. We all have that power. And our words, we have to be careful what we say. We have the ability to speak life into the world around us. And finally, the hope, like the relief of this message is with God, we can tame our tongues. Isn't it interesting? I was thinking about this for the last few days. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to speak in spiritual tongues. Isn't that interesting? One of the ways that the Spirit manifests itself is by taking over our tongue and speaking in spiritual tongues. Isn't that crazy? And what are spiritual tongues? It is glorifying God. It is a direct communication to God. And you, maybe you are like me that have heard testimonies of people speaking in tongues, and there's someone that knows that language. It's like, do you know what you're saying? And I've heard so many stories about this. It's like, no, I didn't know what I was saying. It's like, oh, you were singing the praises of God. You were talking about the majesty of who God is. You were praying that like we'd be encouraged to run after God more. How amazing that the one thing that like in this, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, that the Lord chooses to take control over our tongue. That you need to think about for a couple minutes, because that's so big. Remember, the power of life and death are in the tongue. So this morning, as we close, I'd like to invite the worship team, and also I'd like to invite the ministry prayer team forward. And what we're going to do is we're going to just take this to the Lord. And I don't want to just rush through this moment because I feel like this is so important. And there's a few things I want us to respond, and I want to pray for you, and then I want to encourage you to come and receive prayer. One of the first things I just want to pray for you is if you've ever been wounded by someone's tongue, if someone has ever said something to you and it's cut you, and I don't know, like me, sometimes it takes me a while to get over some people's stuff that they've said to me, whether it's completely at me or just a side comment that they may have not meant to say, but it really cut me deep. And today, I want to pray for you that the Lord would heal you. And so if you'd be so bold, if you're like, man, I have a couple words in my mind right now, if you just raise your hand, I want to pray for you. If you're here and you're like, yep, that's me. I have a word that someone's spoken to me. And just raise your hand, and I just want to pray for you. Yeah, yeah, come on. Well, let's pray. Jesus, I just ask that you would take that word and whatever that was spoken to us, Father God, and that you take the power of it, God. Whether we need to repent or forgive that person for saying that, God, whether it's been in the last few weeks or when we were younger, God, Lord, I pray you take away that power, you would heal us of that word, you would set us free, Father God. That word would no longer determine or shape our lives anymore in the name of Jesus. We break its power off in the name of Jesus. And God, I pray you bring blessing where there has been a curse. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name. If you raised your hand, I just encourage you, we're going to go into a time of worship and find someone, like, we have an amazing prayer team here. Have them, they don't need to know your story, they don't need to know what the word was, but let them just bless you and speak life into you. Because sometimes we just need someone to encourage us. And this is huge. Let them just bless you. Before we do that, the second thing is, I don't know, once again, if you're like me, but sometimes my tongue is out of control. Whether if I'm just spewing stuff at other people or at myself or if I'm complaining, whatever. But if you're like, today I want to surrender that to God, I want to give it to God, would you just raise your hand with me? Like, we want to speak life instead of death. We want to, like, let the Lord touch our hearts. So I'm going to pray for you. Jesus, I surrender my heart to you. Lord, I just repent, and on behalf of everyone here too, we repent for all the words we've said out of anger or just even out of frustration or whatever, God. We repent for every word that was a curse. And God, I ask that you'd fill our hearts with your spirit. I ask that you'd fill us with your words, God, that we could be blessings instead of cursing, God. Help us from this day forward, God. We surrender and we submit to you, Father God. Lord, I even pray for relationships and families where a word has been spoken that's broken them apart, God. We pray against that curse. We ask forgiveness. We pray a blessing instead. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So, church, we're just going to take a few moments. And the team's going to lead us. And just, if you'd like to reflect, that's awesome. If you'd like to come up for prayer, please do. But the worship team's just going to lead us.